Final comment from Marty.
I think if you'd asked me this a year ago, I would have been completely with you. I mean, as far as the non-smoking status, and I certainly look at those patients as being incredibly important because the biology there has clearly got to be different. But I have to say this has now become the most disappointing thing for me, which is a fairly substantial percentage of my never smokers, and I agree this number has been increasing for years, and we actually, surprisingly, in Baltimore see a fair amount of these because we're a pretty heavy smoking place. But a number of these people getting fluoride rash, true absolute never smokers, have just progressed merrily through these agents. And yet I've had other patients who have had fabulous responses who were smokers. And so I have to admit, I still use that. And I will tell you, certainly in second line, that's my first key question, which is if you were never a smoker, you absolutely go on erlotinib. And if you were a smoker, then I go to Alimta in a non-study situation. But I really would like to see some way of sorting these people out and perhaps in frontline. But in the second line, I've been very surprised that it has not held up as well as I thought it would.
The FAM data is our best attempt to try to do that. But yes, there are people that have mutations and can have some benefit that had some smoking history. But that's a little different question than what I'm trying to say, is that when you have the never smoker, really think about using this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, in second line, this is exactly, I mean, I would go immediately to erlotinib. And as I said, I've been fairly enthusiastically, we've put several patients already on, in just a couple of months we've had it open, on a CLGB trial evaluating this never smoking issue.
Could I just paraphrase what you said a little bit, if you permit me to do that?
I'm not sure it's a good idea.
No, but you raise a very important point, is that you have a patient where you have to make an individual decision and you weigh these factors in. And that's what people really have to do here. There is no perfect thing that's going to tell you exactly what to do for the patient. Even women that have ER-positive breast cancer, some of them still don't respond. People that have HER2-positive breast cancer often don't respond.
I agree with that.
So you just got to pick.
Do we know, Vince, the fraction of patients who are oligosmokers nationally?
So the never smokers are consistently about 10%, and probably when you get up to 15 pack years, you had about another 15%.
So a total 25%?
Yeah, maybe a little 25%.
It also depends on the line of therapy, though. It's interesting, in those second line trials, the never smokers in those unselected trials were over 20%. In the first line trials, they're about 10%.
What about the fraction nationally? Do you agree with those numbers? Total 25%?
Well, the truth is, nobody knows. Nobody has paid any attention to this up until the last couple of years.
Mark?
I think one of the great contributions over the past couple of years has really come from Vince in the whole Sloan group about the fact that you really have to take a detailed smoking history because the molecular profile of the patients differ and the therapeutic options and potential benefit differ. And so I think that's the great message from this kind of thing. I agree, historically we've done it poorly, but I think, as Roy said, we owe it to the patients because you'd hate to have a never smoker walk away without getting therapy with this, or a light smoker. I trust when Vince says they have, and I've seen the 3 or 4 page smoking history questionnaire things that you guys do, and it's a very detailed history. So you presumably get pretty good data from that, certainly better than the historical data.
Certainly shouldn't take a whole lot of time to get this information. I mean, you're talking about 45...
You can hand it to them in the waiting room.
Not this research thing. I'm talking about in community practice.
It has clearly changed the way I practice in my lung cancer patients because my smoking history is different now than it was 3-4 years ago.
Do you want to comment on that, please? I mean, in the quick setting, without the 3-page thing, what do you do now?
Well, before, like Marty said, 3, 4, 5 years ago, you assumed everyone smoked, and you assumed, like, how long did you smoke? And they'd say, oh, 30 years, and the wife would roll their eyes, and how many packs a day, and the wife would roll their eyes. And now I go, how old were you when you started? And I just went through this with the lady that I put on the CLGB study, who she actually figured out for me, had an 8-pack year exposure, and she had it all written out. In college, I did this, I did this, I started, but this is what I did, and this is what I calculate. She knew about the CLGB study, and I hope she didn't falsify her pack year exposure by getting it at 8, but I had to trust her on that. But it's like, when did you start? Tell me how many years you think you smoked, 1, 1.5, 2. When did you stop? Did you start again? This and that and all that kind of stuff. I'd like to kind of corroborate it with the spouse or the significant other and kind of go through that. But I wasn't doing that 3-4 years ago.